Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to have you with us here. And yet another month that we are just quickly breezing through. Want to let everybody know, just right off the bat, that next weekend, both of our services is going to be Christmas in July. We're not going to do that every year, but as we do it, we're obviously next week, because I was getting some of the hymn requests were indeed Christmas carols. And so those of you that put those in, we're going to be singing some of those next week. After our worship is done, we're going to be having a fellowship. And what we need to make the fellowship go, I don't know how many of you we can really get into making Christmas cookies and stuff this time of year, but if you'd like to do it, we'd like to have them here. Bring them along with. And if you would like to wear some of the apparel appropriate for the season, we certainly encourage you to do that as well. Just a little something special to kind of, as we go through the summer, to keep us going. We have been sending out to God's people an email that keeps up with the things that are going on here in the church. And I understood very quickly that, you know, there are just some people that don't get email, and it's not fair that those folks are not getting something. So what we have done, we're going to start making a limited number of paper copies. If we know that you're not getting the email, we'll put one in your mailbox, okay? And if you don't have one in your mailbox and you'd like one, let us know, because that's the best way to kind of keep up. It's just, you may as well be receiving by paper what everybody else receives electronically. For God's people that are just occasional guests or whatever, we will make a limited number of copies available. I don't know if there's any left back on the table or not. If there's not and you'd like one, let me know after worship. We'll get one printed for you really, really quickly. Obviously, these things are going to have a short shelf life because we are, during the summer, it may only be about every other week, but most of the year, we're going to be sending out an email every week, and as soon as we send out a new one, we will be taking down the old one. So if you see it and you need it, please grab it. Or again, let us know that you want one put in your mailbox as well, and if you haven't checked your mailbox this morning, please do so. We also want to remind God's people that we have now officially started the Shoes for the Souls program. You might have noticed as you were coming in a couple little things that were dangling that we've been hanging up as decorations now. But besides shoes this year, they're also asking for socks and undies. And so help us with that. I've got details in the bulletin in terms of what you can do, what and how it is that you can bring it. But we need to collect these quickly because a lot of times we wait till the school year starts and then give them to the schools. This year, we are going to be part of the registration process at a couple of the schools, so we need to have all that stuff ready. And our goal is at least one pair of socks and every pair of shoes, but I'd like just to make sure we don't forget what this is really all about. Let's keep the focus primarily on the shoes, and of course we can always add socks to that. Whatever else we gather up in front of that is we do the best we can there. Okay, I had mentioned last week that apparently somebody left a set, and I had called it a set of keys. I've now had a chance to take a look at this thing. It's not a set of keys. It is a key fob that's attached to some kind of a lanyard, and I know those things are expensive. And it was found in a nursery, and we have it in the office. If you're missing a key fob, those things are really expensive. So let the church office know, and we'll see if it is indeed the one that you have been missing. Our adult Bible studies are continuing. The one here we just completed this morning. We'll be working back into the Book of Esther again next week. And then there's one at the Oasis Coffee Spot that's on Saturday mornings for our women. And there will be a lot more coming once we get to fall. So please let us know that you were here. Fill out the Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. We want to remember in our prayers for this morning Bob Ferguson. He's hospitalized this morning over at North Bay after a fall. And so let's please keep him in our prayers for this morning. And Sandy Lienhout, she's with us this morning, but she was hospitalized earlier in the week. And the fact that, again, she is with us, we are grateful for that. I know that we have a lot of people that are headed for different kinds of procedures and stuff. We pray for the continued health of the congregation. As you are able, please stand. Our order of worship this morning is from Service of Prayer and Preaching from our Lutheran Service Book. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, this is the day which the Lord has made, from the rising of the sun to its setting. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Yes, the Lord gives what is good. He sends his word to every nation, but we have not always desired to hear his word. We have not always done what his word says. We have not always spoken his word faithfully to others. Let us confess our sins to God, our Heavenly Father, beginning with a moment of silence. Almighty God, you who are gracious and merciful, we confess that at times your word. We admit that at times we have mistreated those who speak your word. We have desired our own way and not your way. Restore us again, O God of our salvation. Open our hearts and our ears, that we may delight in your word and will, to the glory of your name. In love, God chose us for adoption as his heirs through Jesus Christ. We have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I declare to you, that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O Lord, you have made us heirs of your kingdom through the blood of Christ. Bolster our courage that we speak your word of repentance and forgiveness so that more of your people might believe and receive you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Redeemed, restored, and ready to serve and praise our Lord, let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord.
Our Old Testament lesson is in Amos chapter 7. Amaziah tells the prophet Amos to prophesy elsewhere, but Amos declares that he declares that he does as the Lord commands. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile, away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from the following of the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy my people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul begins his letter to the Christian church at Ephesus, speaking of our redemption, adoption, forgiveness, and inheritance in Christ. St. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were at the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah. And others said he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went on and said to her mother, for what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your word dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And so we now speak together the words of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You may be seated. May the powerful grace and mercy and love of our Lord and Savior be with you as we continue to grow in Him from whom we have obtained an eternal inheritance. Amen. My text for this morning is those words, and it was easy to drown in those words from Ephesians chapter 1 from our epistle lesson, but because there is so much there. You know, it has often made me wonder just how many of you, and whether it's a spare time thing that you do at home or something that you take with you when you travel, how many of you buy any kind of those word puzzle books that where it says maybe, you know, find the words and you got to circle it when you find an error, maybe some of the other words, like it's a crossword puzzle or just something like that that involves words. Are there some of you that do that? I've got to imagine there's more than a few of you. And you know, there is a certain sameness about them. And yet, when you start working on something like that, you can't put it down. It's one of the most amazing things how you're just drawn into that by the power of words. Now, of course, words themselves may not have a lot of power until you start paying attention to what those words are trying to say. And in our epistle lesson this morning, I could have had us go through a bit of a word exercise this morning, and where I would have you circle two things. First of all, where I would have you circle the word in as well as whatever word follows it, whether it is in Him, in heaven, in love, whatever it is that's there. And then find all the words where it says either in Christ or in Him or with Christ, with whatever. Circle all of those. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a bulletin that's going to start looking quite messy. Because every part of our lives as Christians are all about being in Him. From the very beginning, long before we even came to be, the Lord had chosen you. You have been preordained to be one of His own children. Now, sometimes it's not going to feel that way. Sometimes we don't understand what the Lord has in store for us. But make no mistake about one thing. For as we are preparing ourselves with eternity in our hearts to be with our Lord and Savior on the last day and forevermore, there will be no accidents. It was not a, well, look, what is this person doing there? No. God has ordained each and every one of you who, as we are preparing ourselves for eternal life, as we love Him, as we live our lives to Him, as we go about life understanding that as we hear the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and we believe in Him, it is downright exciting just what it is that God can do. And you know, sometimes we need to be reminded of just what it is that God is able to do. And that's why my theme for this morning is said, wow, what God's word can do. And I had already long chosen this title when I got a text earlier in the week from an individual who, he's been a good friend of mine. In fact, he was the individual that preached at my installation at the very beginning of my ministry. If you might recall, it was the first day of February, way back in 2015. I don't know if he made much of an impression on you or not, if you remember him or not. He texted me and just because there was a picture already in the Missouri District newsletter about the service that I went up and preached for just a couple of weeks ago. They already had a picture in that magazine about that. He spotted my picture, and you know, this guy is brand new to the district, so he wanted to know what my relationship was. And we started chatting with one another because at one time, this man had been a member of my congregation in South Dakota, who later became a fellow LCMS pastor. And then he started talking about what's going on in his life, because I told him, yeah, we're trying to get ourselves ready for a wedding of my oldest daughter, and boy, it's causing some headaches. And he sent back, and he said, well, it looks like next year, my family is going to have 3. Wow, is what he wrote. And I, at that point, I'm like, okay, pal, quit feeling sorry for yourself. And look, you know this family, they're very special. They'll get through it. They always do. The family kind of reads one another. But to understand, when the time comes to say wow, and my wow is what God's word can do. God's word does so many things because it comes to us with great power. It comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes to us with the message of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. It comes to us with a way that shows that although we may have spent more than a little bit of our lives walking away from Him, He has never walked away from us. He is walking towards us. He is drawing us closer to Him all the time. What do we see, His plan and purpose in our lives or not? He is always there. And He is always providing for us an extra measure of His love, of His presence, of His grace. That is, if we want any part of it. Just this past week, I had the opportunity to read an article in one of the prominent national websites that was titled 5 Reasons to Quit Church. I'll repeat that. 5 Reasons to Quit Church. And it was written by a pastor. And by the time the article was done, I just felt grateful that me and my pair of glasses here that were still in one piece because I wanted to throw them across the room. We hardly need incentive or advice to be told when it's okay to say, well, I guess I don't want anything more to do with church anymore. Because, let's face it, first of all, the people that are going to do that are just going to do that. They don't need any guidance. They don't need any help. They're just going to walk away. And whether they understand it or not, they're not just walking away from church. It is not the fellowship of believers that they have walked away from. I mean, there's some that have decided to join another fellowship. I was talking about Sioux Falls, South Dakota a while ago. I was a pastor in a country church not far from there. But in the city churches, they had this joke going around that there was this punch card. It was a fictional punch card, and then on this punch card was a little punch for every one of the churches in the city of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the Lutheran churches. And that by the time you died, you will have probably have punched off, been a member of every single one of them. I don't know that bodes well, but to be a part of a different fellowship, well, I guess people are going to do that. But to walk away from that usually means that they are more interested in walking away from God. And indeed, the problem that people really want to have, that somehow they want to walk away from God. And why? Because even since at the very beginning of time, Eve was given the main deception. The main deception wasn't fruit that looked pleasing to the eye. It was the promise that, okay, maybe she would not die, which was a lie, but the promise that she would be more like God, that she would be allowed to play God. Well, as the church pews grow emptier and emptier, we see more and more people that have just decided that they can do a better job playing God than the one true God. And so they will go and they will be their own gods. They'll go and decide for themselves the parameters of the kinds of things that God is supposed to be. They will decide just what it is that the decisions of the most important things in life, instead of looking to Him, they will look to themselves or they will look to other things. And this is nothing new. In the Old Testament lesson for this morning, we see Amos prophesying what is about to happen. And he's not saying, I hope so. He's not saying, I want this to be. He's not saying, since you guys are going to be enemies, I'm going to go to the enemy and say, bring it on. He is warning Israel. This is what you've decided to do. This is what is going to happen. Sin always brings with it a consequence. And while sometimes we see it, understand it, are really hit broadside by it, many more times we almost scoff. And we scoff at God, that the very idea that some of the decisions that we believe that we have the power, the authority, and are, as far as we're concerned, the wisdom to make, is going to carry with it some punishment. And Amos had to remind this person that was coming up to him named Amaziah and saying, what are you doing saying that stuff in front of the king's palace? And Amos is like, because that's what the Lord told me to do. I didn't ask to be a prophet. He made me a prophet. Friends, none of us have necessarily asked to do some of the things that the Lord has had us do. I mean, whether it's offices in the church, whether it's things in life that made our lives take some sharp turns we never saw coming. This is God working for us a way in which He's directing our lives, yes, in the best way through the pitfalls of life, but more importantly, closer to Him. Because life is always going to be filled with opposition. Life is always going to be filled with the mark of death on each one of us, and we cannot know when it's going to be. Because of those things, my friends, why would we ever walk away from God? Why would we ever quit the very things by which we get a chance to share in His love and mercy, the place where His glory dwells? Especially when God is doing so much for us. We are reminded that there were two paragraphs in the epistle lesson, and the first one is what God has done. And it just goes on and on and on, talking about the grace that we have received, the purpose that God has done for it, and how all of that comes to us because Jesus was willing to come into this world as someone just like us, and then to give His life up on the cross as a human being just like us. And then the second paragraph is everything that we get. And yes, even as it calls us the first to hope in Christ, you may not feel like it. Look, I'm just part of a long line of people that were people of the faith. Well, yes, that is true. But now you get a chance to be the first. The first to show what that hope is in the lives of people that don't have the slightest idea what God has done for them. You are going to be to have that chance to be that one person that can reach into a life that is going in circles or absolutely nowhere. It works out the same way. And give to them a direction. A direction that they, where perhaps they've gone in every other direction but a direction that leads them to the person that has been in their life all along. You know, there isn't a person in this world that Jesus Christ does not love, does not care about, and has not tried to show what his love can do. Sometimes the last pieces of showing what that's all about and who it really came from, sometimes we're the ones that need to be, if we have to use the word, the storyteller. Yes, even as we prepare ourselves, my friends, for everlasting life, we have been sealed in an inheritance, in something that's worth more than all of the gold and platinum in the world. As we move closer in our lives and in our lives as a congregation, to the will, to the work, to the worship, and to the ways that God is going to lead us. Friends, as we see what God's word, what God's love, what God's grace, what God's power can do in our lives, wow. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's receive our first fruits and offerings. If you've not yet filled out those faith fellowship cards, please do so. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For our guests in worship today, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word, with faith, in understanding, and joy, let us pray to the Lord. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. For all the sick, those who suffer, the grieving in their loss, and the dying in their last days, we pray on behalf of Bob Ferguson, who is hospitalized, on behalf of Sandy Leanouts, who has been hospitalized this past week, and now those who we name before the Lord in the privacy of our own hearts, that they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will, let us pray to the Lord. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness, and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. For our communion this day, of Christ's body and blood, that we receive him with faith, and for our unity of faith and life together as a family of believers, let us pray to the Lord. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, as you give us your body and blood to eat and to drink, may we now always remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our service concludes on page 10 in our service folders, the second of those two prayers. It's Luther's morning prayer. Please stand as we pray that together. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Help the suffering, honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and give you peace. A quick reminder, this is a week where we are taking orders for the faith cards, and we need as many people as we can to participate in. That's free money for our congregation and its ministries that they are set up in the back for you this morning. So, and don't forget next week, Christmas in July. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.